We are continuing our series on the gospel and what it is in Jesus' name. We talked about that the gospel, again, by way of review, is the good news. We talked about what it isn't. It isn't your testimony. It isn't telling people all the wonderful things that can happen as a result of the gospel. And that may seem a bit tricky, but telling people what can happen as a result of the gospel is not the gospel itself. There's a distinction between that. The results of the gospel is just that. The results of the gospel. But the results are not the gospel.
Amen.
If you're saved and if you can get healed and have peace in your home and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all those are a result of the gospel. But the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day for our justification. According to the scriptures, that's the gospel. And as a result of that, we have peace with God. As a result of that, our sins were removed. As a result of that, we can have a relationship with God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Even a great testimony is still not the gospel. Even telling folks your sins can be forgiven, that's a result of the gospel. Your testimony is a result of the gospel. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
The gospel is the good news. The good news. It is the focus on Christ Jesus, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we said before we talk about the good news, you got to first understand that the good news came behind some bad news. That's what we got to keep remembering. There was bad news, and the news was all bad. And it was going to be eternally bad. Am I in the right place?
Amen.
It was going to be eternally bad news. Think about that. It wasn't just going to be bad news. We hear bad news. But thank God, by the grace of God, he can help. His grace, his mercy, his healing power helps to kind of mitigate that news over time. This news was not going to be that way. If he didn't show his grace and his mercy, it was going to be eternally bad news. Let's go over it again, what the bad news was. We sinned, and when we sinned, we fell under the condemnation and the judgment of God Almighty. I said we failed under the condemnation and judgment of God Almighty. And him being holy and righteous, he is bound by his holy and righteous character to preserve the integrity, the honor, and the glory of his holy and righteous character. And he would do that by pouring out eternal wrath on our sin. What we earned. I said that's what we earned. That's what we deserved, was his eternal wrath, because he is holy and he is righteous. Do you understand that word of life? That's why there's hell, because he's holy. In his holiness, in his righteous character, he can't abide sin. He can't just let it go ever, because he is holy. He's righteous. That's the bad news. Let me put it another. I've added a little bit to the notes. God is holy. He is just. And guess what? We are not. At the end of our lives, we're going to stand before a just and holy God, and we will be judged. And we'll be judged either on the basis of our own righteousness or lack thereof. You know, we had a lack thereof. That's bad news. Because we know that our righteousness, which Isaiah says is as filthy rags, wasn't going to cut it. That was not going to satisfy the great Supreme Court of heaven and the judge of all the earth. Wasn't going to do it. You are guilty, guilty, guilty. And you have been punished to eternal wrath, says a holy and just and righteous God. All that is bad news. And I think sometimes we jump too much to just the good news and don't recognize, why is it good news? Good is relative to, so if there's good news, there was there must have been some bad news. We don't go to that part. So the Holy Ghost is speaking through me to kind of dwell on that. This was the state of all of us. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white. Rich or poor. The problem in the world is sin. That's the problem. That's the bottom line. The problem in the world is a spiritual problem. That's why politics, no amount of political maneuvering, no amount of economic shifting, no amount of putting resources in the right place is going to touch, even scratch the surface of the problem in this world. It is sin. So you don't get caught up in politics. You don't get caught up in the things of this world. We know the truth. Sin is the issue, and the gospel is the answer. God is holy, we are not. That's real simple. God is holy, and we are not. Now that's the bad news. So now behind that comes the gospel, the good news, the good announcement, the good pronouncement. Hallelujah. The good news is that instead of everybody going to hell, which we deserved because we have offended and blasphemed against a holy and righteous and perfect God, hell was the answer. But by his almighty grace and mercy, it wasn't the only way. Hell was a way for him to maintain his holy and righteous character and not compromise it. Word of life. Father God, help us to get this. Do you understand that if God let one sin go, just one, it compromises his holy and righteous character? Amen. Amen. I love how you're shaking your head right away. One thing. It compromises his holy and righteous character. At that moment, he's not holy and he's not righteous, and then he's not God. Can't happen, y'all. He can't stop being God.
Amen.
So one sin, he said, I gotta take care of it. My righteousness, my holy and righteous character demands it that it be taken care of. Somebody gotta shed some blood. He said, for without the remission of blood, there is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or remitting of that sin. Blood has got to be shed. That was the eternal rule, if you will. That's the law. Just like what goes up must come down. Sin goes up, some blood got to come down. Somebody got to shed their blood. That's the gospel. And when you're talking to folks about this, and they say, well, man, let me get myself together. Oh, brother, sister, you can't do it. Some blood got to be applied to that. And we ain't talking about your own, because that's sinless blood being applied to a sinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, sin-filled blood, rather. If you shed your own blood, that's just sin-filled blood being applied to a sinner's life. Can't work. You got to have some sinless blood applied. As the old hymn says, there at the cross where my Savior died, down at the cross, I think. Anyway, I'm mixing the word, but somehow where the blood was applied is the point I'm going to get to. That blood got to be applied. Because if sinless blood is not applied, then your blood must be shed for your sin. Did you hear what I said? If sinless blood isn't applied for your sin, then you got to shed your blood for your sin. There ain't no, oh, I'm going to let you slide. Oh, I'm going to let you slide. No. So having laid that groundwork, we were all on our way. Having my notes again review, The good news is that God himself, personally, decreed, authorized, sanctioned, and approved a way to satisfy the demands of his justice. I like, if you were to personify justice, holiness, righteousness, if you were to turn them into people, it would be quote unquote screaming at God, you must bring this to account. You can't let this go. That's what his holiness, his righteousness is saying to himself, in a sense. You can't let it go. And so to satisfy the demands of his justice without compromising his holiness and righteousness, it's amazing that he came up with this solution without compromising who he is and without condemning the whole human race. That's amazing. That's a conundrum we would have never been able to solve. That's a riddle we wouldn't have been able to approach. Now, how can I do this and still maintain my holiness and not kill everybody, which is what's supposed to happen? Here comes Jesus. That's how he did it. He said, what I can do is I'm going to have my son to die for a select group. I know this church is used to it, but a lot of folks, you're going to get real, they'll be real mad at you there. Because when we talk about limited atonement or specific redemption, we talk about actual atonement. See, I didn't realize all this until I got into it more and more, because what people believe is potential atonement. Potential atonement is that Jesus died potentially for everybody, but actually for no one. Potentially. So it means his blood is out there for anybody to take. And if you are convinced of the gospel, remember this is Arminian, meaning that you can convince somebody through your speaking the gospel to them, and when they accept it, then they've taken part of the atonement. Then it becomes actual for them. That's why you can hear things like in these altar calls that if Jesus, if you were the only one that he died for, he still would have died for you. But he wasn't the only one that he died for. There was a select group before the foundation of the world whom God had chosen. I know some of you don't even know some of these doctrines that are out there. That's why I'm kind of letting you know some of these things, because we are teaching you to be an apologetic as well. There are those who believe in unlimited atonement. We believe in limited atonement. Or better to me, specific redemption or specific and actual atonement. Jesus actually died for the salvation of a select group of people that God had chosen before the foundation of the world. Jesus did not die for the world. What about gospel of the world? You got to get the tapes on the series on the doctrines of grace. We go over all of that in detail. World doesn't mean everybody who's ever been born. That's our definition of world. The world then was to a prejudiced group at the time who believed that the world was only the Jews themselves, that the world, that was it. When Jesus told them world, he was introducing to them that salvation was more than just you Jews. It was for all tongue and tribe and people and nation. Not everybody in the world, but all of the tribe, tongues, and groups in the world, beyond the Jew. That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. He didn't just die for the Jewish nation, but he died for the Gentiles too. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the world. Every tongue, tribe, people, nation. It's whosoever, in any tongue, whosoever, any tongue, any tribe, any people, any nation believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. He died for all tongues, all tribes, all people, all nations, but not everybody in every tongue, tribe, people in there. Are you understanding that? It was specific atonement. It was actual atonement. When he died, we were saved. We had, of course, we were saved. When he died, we were saved, but in the spiritual, we were saved, but in reality, we had to be born, live, and then when that moment came, Spirit raised from the dead, you saw me. So it didn't have to happen in real time, but it was already settled before the foundation of the world that you would be sitting here saved, filled. You follow what I'm saying? There's no goodness of our own. This is all God. And the good news is that he chose some and not let everybody go to hell. And he did not compromise his righteousness because Jesus shed the sinner's blood for us. So still no sin gets to go unpunished. It's just that he allowed his son to take upon himself our sin. Glory be to God. So I'm going to lay on my son Greg Harris's sin. I'm going to lay on my son, everybody in this room who say, there said, that's what I'm going to put on the son. Not going to go free. Nobody's free. Nothing came free. We were set free, but it didn't come freely. He paid the price. Huh? Glory be to God. I need to put Miss Felicia and Miss Palmer on standby for some interpretation. Whoa-wee. Whoa, when you get a hold of this, boy, this stuff and this out here, it just be what it is. We got the greatest gift. And the more you understand that gift, the less all this out here become whatever that is. Me and Sister Pookie was just, you know, just, it's weird, but it's almost like survivor's guilt. You've heard of that, like when you don't want to live, when you die in a car crash or when somebody dies and you live and your friend dies, you kind of feel guilty in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that, the Lord, why he picked us. Mm-hmm. Me and baby girl was talking about that and we were just like, wow, he chose us. Didn't have to. So great, who said that? Glenda Jean, that's right, baby. We need to really understand what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came up with a way. Came up with a way to not sacrifice who he is and still not condemn the whole race. Wow. And he included you and I in those plans. Glory be to God. Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness, perfect obedience to God. Ha! Not for his own well-being, but for us, his people. Did that for us. All the suffering, all the spitting upon, all the abuse, verbal abuse, the whispers, the lies, the deceit, the hatred, the vitriol, did it all for us. He did for us what we couldn't possibly do for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. And in living a life of perfect obedience, he was able to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the demands of the justice of a holy and righteous God. Hell was one way to settle, as one person said, the accounts for sinners. It was a legal way, it was a righteous way, it was a holy way, it was a just way. But I said earlier, but thank God, there was another way. God provided another way. That's the good news. He provided another way. Remember in John 17 and 3, I believe, where it defines what everlasting life is, and this is everlasting life, we may know thee, the only true God, and your son Jesus, whom you have sent. We want to know him. He's the only wise God. He's the only wise God. Wise God. He's a God of wisdom. And somehow, in his wisdom, he came up with a way to bring us to him and not compromise it. One preacher put it this way: the wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. The love of God. The love of God. Because of the wisdom of God delivered us from the wrath of God. The love of God delivered us from the wrath of God without compromising the righteousness and justice of God. That's what the wisdom of God came up with. And yet we already said, but what is the wisdom of God? The death of his son, Jesus Christ, for sinners. Thank you, Father. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. This is still review. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Thank you, Father. Oh, help us to get it. Help us to get it. Help us to get it. Thank you, Father. My sister-in-law... Sister Rolanda's sister, her saying would be, it's too much. It's too much. This is too much. And when you think about how blessed we are, no goodness of our own, you will go into treating more folks more right mode like never before. Because you didn't have to pick me. So how dare I turn around and be blew out against somebody else? Calm your little raggedy self down. Thank you. That ought to put us on another level. Every family member, every road rage, temptation, every interaction with a human being ought to be sloshed in the blood of Jesus. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 1, but we preach Christ crucified. That's a good preaching. The Jews, stumbling block, the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. Yes. Look at this, and the wisdom of God. Who is Christ? Christ, verse 23, the one crucified. So then the wisdom of God is the death of Jesus Christ. And the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is putting the love of God on display. And that love, which was displayed through the death of Jesus Christ, was to save us sinners from the wrath of God. And in doing that, he upheld and demonstrated, if you will, his righteousness in Christ Jesus. We don't have to go back there, but we mentioned in Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangel, the first mention of the good news, mm-hmm. was that Satan was going to get crushed mm-hmm. by the seed of the woman, even though he's going to get in a little dig at the heel of the seed of the woman. Yeah. He's going to get his seed rather going to get a dig in on the heel, but eventually he's going to completely crush Satan. He's going to destroy him. That's good news.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we talked about how the Lord has spoken this out throughout the Old Testament by the prophets. Yeah. Matthew 1, 21, he said, this was to fulfill which was spoken by the prophets. Acts 43, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Everyone was spoken out by the prophets. How many gospels is it, word of life? One gospel. We read in Galatians chapter 1 that if any, even if an angel came from heaven, if I, an apostolic, ordained minister, or an angel from heaven came down here and preached to you another gospel, which is really not another gospel, he makes that clear, he is to be anathema. And I want to talk to the right quick to the DeVos's children that the word damn is not a curse word when used properly. Damn, the definition of it is to be under the curse and wrath of God. When you use it in that proper definition, it's not a curse word. Okay? So the pastor wasn't cursing from the pulpit. They're looking all embarrassed, Mr. Bond. They're like, ooh, she told her that. Oh, I can't believe that. Whether it has ED on it or not, it's not a curse word. Okay? When it's used properly. Okay? All right. So having said that, because I got to use that word again when he said that if an angel comes down or if I preach the word, let him be anathema. Anathema means let him be damned, meaning let the wrath of God fall on that. That's how serious it is.
Yes, Lord.
May the wrath of God fall immediately on that angel,
yes,
or the apostle or any minister who brings forth another quote unquote gospel. Let him be cursed. Let him be damned by God.
Amen.
That's how serious it is. And he said it twice. Remember, in Jewish conversion, in Jewish conversation, the way they talk, they, through repetition, that's how they emphasize what they're saying, through repetition. And he says again, so say I now again, that if anyone comes to you with another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be anathema. Said it twice.
Amen.
This is very serious. There's only one gospel. And you have to understand, word of life, there are many quote-unquote gospels out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only by the grace of God that he's letting them stand. Believe me.
Yeah.
And while they're standing, we need to be getting scales on our knees praying for them.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about these pastors. Mm-hmm. There's really only one gospel. Let's look at the gospel summarized again. Look at it again. I want you to learn this in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Judy, mother God.
Yeah.
Now I make known to you, brethren, what is making known? The gospel, which I preach to you, and which also you receive, in which also you stand. So the gospel, so I'm going to put, instead of which, I'm going to put the gospel. The gospel which I preach unto you, the gospel also you receive, and in the gospel also you stand. So he's talking about, so it's safe to say he's talking about the gospel. Verse 2, by which, or the gospel, you were saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered, which is talking about the gospel, to you as of first importance, or the principal matters in the literal Greek. The principal matters. What is that? What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And again, word of life, that's the gospel summarized.
Thank you, Jesus.
He died for our sins. He was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel summarized. And as we ended last week, the unpacking of all, because that's real thick. Those two lines are really, really thick.
Amen.
They're packed in there.
Amen.
Let's just go to seminary school just for a moment. So even in the first sentence that Christ Jesus died for our sins. There's two doctrines in there, and just being fancy a little bit, there's, that's spelling this right, martiology, which is the doctrine of sin, and then there's soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. Just in those, in that one sentence, you have the doctrine of, you have the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of salvation in the one sentence of Christ died for our sins. Because him dying saved us, and sins, the doctrine of sin, of soteriology. In just that one sentence. You're going to unpack that all day long. He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. So that means he died for our sins, and then in dying for our sins, he saved us. The doctrine of soteriology. And these are Greek words, and just put mythology on it. Hamartia talks about sin, and soteria talks about salvation. And he said, these are the principal matters. Yes, this is the key. This is the first importance. He died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel summarized. And that's easy to remember that. He died, buried, rose, all for our sins. Like I said last week, you can speak that to anybody. And then be ready to unpack it when they ask you, okay, what does that mean? Break that down some more. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's another summarization, not quite as succinct and as the one we just read, but this is another one. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Thank you, Father. According to the glorious gospel, what are we talking about? The glorious gospel of the blessed God, because it belongs as God's gospel. He owns it. He authorized it. It's his gospel. With which I have been entrusted. Skip down to verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world. See, there's the incarnation, God taking on flesh. Remember, for St. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here we see that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief or foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy. Glory be to God. Woo! So that in me, as the foremost sinner, chief of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience. Has he not demonstrated perfect patience in our lives? Absolutely. No doubt. Well, then why in the world ain't you perfectly patient with somebody else? Uh-oh. Is it safe to come up, Philistine? Is it safe to come up? Are they throwing stuff at me? That's real talk, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm in that question too now. Remember, I'm sitting out there with you. I'm just having to be standing here. That's what it's all about. Why aren't we patient with others? Because we tend to lose sight of that. You know why? We become Lord. We become our Savior. We kind of lose sight of the real Savior. Somebody do something to you, somebody do something to me, we become Lord. We become, everything is about us. And in that state of mind, we lash out. We don't have patience. We say mean things. We do ugly things. And when we do, we blaspheme his name.
Amen. We don't bring him glory. Because I'm God, I'm Lord at that moment. You have blasphemed me, you violated me. And we don't remember the example that Jesus set, who when he was insulted, he didn't offer insult. And he threatened not when he was threatened. Now you mess with his father, that's a whole different story. You won't have a problem then. And Lord, help us to be more like that. Amen. You mess with God, you're going to have a problem. You mess with us, no biggie. Right now, just the opposite.
Amen. Yeah.
You mess with me, you're going to have a problem. Mess with God, well, maybe. Help us turn that around, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Perfect patience. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. He said he did this that Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And there's a song we have in our library that has those exact words. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a trustworthy statement that he came into the world to save sinners. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who saved us. Here's the gospel. And called us with the holy calling. Saved us. Soteriology. Called us. That's the doctrine of unconditional election. Or, if you want to go with the irresistible call. Because when he calls you, you're coming. It's an effectual call.
Yes, Lord.
That's in there. Called us with the holy calling. Not according to our works, thank you, Jesus, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus, from all eternity past. It was already a done deal. He saw Miss Mealy. In eternity past.
Yes,
he saw Miss Felicity in eternity past.
Yes,
boy, when the devil try to tell you and nobody and you and nobody care about you and nobody know the trouble I've seen, tell the devil you is a lie and shut up. My God knows me and he knew me in eternity past. I am known. I am loved. And Ephesians 1:3, I've been accepted.
Yes, Lord.
Beloved of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Verse 10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Look at this, through the gospel. If you're taking notes, you can pick any one of those three to summarize the gospel. Turn over one chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. It's my gospel because it's the gospel that God has entrusted to me to preach. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. I got this wrong. This should be, sorry about that. So H-A-M-A-R. H-A-M-A-R, commerciology. H-A-M-A-R-T-L, yes. the doctrine of sin.
And of course, the third one that I didn't put up here would be all of it is this. Christology, the study of the person and work of Jesus Christ, is all packed into those three doctrines are all packed into that, into the gospel. Especially the first one that we read, all of that is in there. Seeing salvation through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much time? We'll start with the unpacking of this. We'll start. We'll start next time. We stopped at the same point last week, but he put a whole lot more in today. And I love how the Lord, I thank God there's no superintendent over my head saying you got to be doing this by this time. I thank God for that. There was some PTSD from school, but he's giving me that post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, because you had to get stuff done, Paul. You know, you got to be done here by this week, and then you better be here. But that's not here, so I thank God. He just fills in more and more. I hope, Father God, that we receive today more revelation, more light, a deeper understanding concerning the salvation work and of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, a deeper understanding of the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Your grace and your mercy on high alert, full definition, full effect for your people. Help us to have a greater appreciation for what you've done. Help us, please. And I know you will, because we can boldly say you are our helper.
Amen.
So instead of begging to help us, I'm going to say thank you for helping us.
Amen.
To have a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation and deeper gratitude. And to treat people better.
Amen.
Doggone it, this life is not about us. It's about you, Father.
Amen.
May you receive the praise, glory, and honor of concerning everything we think, speak, and do.
Amen.
We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.